So how did you do with your strategy elicitation and utilization then? Good? Eventually, that's good. Learnings, discoveries, questions about strategy elicitation. Paula.
We discovered that people, the same person uses different strategies to buy different things.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That's certainly a possibility. It's not what I've found to be in general. Right. There's certainly a possibility. In general, I find the person, people will normally use the same strategy across context. The way that I get around the possibility is that I always elicit the decision-making strategy in the context that I'm wanting to use it in. So if I'm wanting to sell training, I'll elicit the decision-making strategy in training. So if it is different across context, it doesn't matter because I've got the one for. Yeah. Cool. Good. Sarah.
One thing I wanted to get clarification on, because
yes.
I think it helped in my own strategy and Sheridan's as well, is that when I have a bit where I have to go for my criteria, but
yes.
My criteria is actually visual criteria and perspective criteria.
Okay.
So then we got confused because was I doing a visual with the strategy, or was that actually part of my AD criteria?
What would normally happen is that presumably then your strategy had a visual external step in it and a kinesthetic external step in it as well. What was one of the criteria?
Well, I was buying a pair of trousers.
Right.
Obviously, they have to fit me.
Okay. And do you do that? Do you know? How do you know that they fit you?
I mean, I can get them on, and I can do them, but they're the right length.
Okay. Notice that none of that's kinesthetic. So you can get them on, you can do the button up, and the right length is not how they feel. They might do for you, but we're not talking about your strategy. So what you've got then is you've got visual external.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then what happened in the strategy after that?
Well, actually, I start off with visual internal.
Okay.
So I have a picture.
Picture of what it's going to look like before you start.
I imagine, is it my t-shirt template?
Yeah,
your
t-shirt template.
An idea of the perfect t-shirt or the perfect pair of trousers.
Okay.
Then I go around, I see what looks like my... They look like it fits my idea of what I've got in my
okay.
mind.
Okay. And did Sarah do like a comparison between the two? Did she kind of like go across the top like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like so she's comparing the two, as in what she's seeing outside and her picture inside until they make a match.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have to try them on.
Then you have to, and when trying them on, is that the kinesthetic external? Oh, okay.
And this is with clothes. So we were talking about the difference between clothes and like then buying furniture. Because you can't try furniture on as in like put it in your home before deciding. So like with clothes.
So that's definitely visual. Because you can try furniture on as far as like what it feels like.
Yeah.
But you can't see what it would look like at home.
Yeah.
I'm seeing furniture.
It's in it. No, it's in it. So clothes, I go and try them on because they've got to fit. And I've got to look good in them. And then I'll feel good. If I look good, I then feel good.
Right, okay.
And then with furniture, I have a picture of the perfect furniture. I see the perfect furniture. Because I can't then physically drag it into my house,
right.
I then have to then imagine what it's going to look like. And I go potty because I really want to see it in my house.
Okay.
So I have to try and imagine it.
Yeah.
And if I can really, really imagine it, like, as soon as I can visualize it and
yes.
convince myself that it's working, then I'll
yeah.
decide.
So what do you do? What's the step that you do? So you've got a picture of what it would look like.
Yeah.
what you want it to look like. You then see the furniture. Yeah. And then you go back and then put it back into, you put the furniture into your house.
Yeah.
And then, and when you've got a match with that, as in you can imagine it and you go like, yeah, it will look okay. Then what do you do? What's the next step? For you to know it's the furniture for you, for you to decide it's the furniture for you. Yeah, okay. And what else? Oh, you feel happy?
Well, yeah, because I can see that. If I've actually done the measurements and know it's going to fit, and I can visualise that it's in place, then I will feel good. I want to feel good before I decide. If I don't feel completely happy, I won't decide.
Right, okay. So that's a checking measurement and all that kind of stuff. And did you get there was a kinesthetic internal on the end of it?
Yes.
Okay.
I suppose my question in that AD, I thought some of my AD criteria was it doesn't feel.
Okay.
Well,
I'm not sure, because I actually think that there might be a kinesthetic external synesthesia on the front end of here. On here, on this visual external, in that it does this, kinesthetic external synesthesia. And the reason why I say that, kinesthetic, so it goes, let me write that out again for you to make it clearer. So the start of your strategy is visual internal, visual external, which you're comparing. This visual external, I think, has a kinesthetic external synesthesia on it. And I think the reason for my thinking on that is because when you were telling me about trying the trousers on, you did this. So I have to try them on.
That was the bit that we really got confused by, because the only thing I haven't got is the KE.
Yeah,
that was the bit
that's the KE.
Yeah, that was the bit.
So you get a visual eye accessing pattern,
yeah.
But she's feeling. So that's a synesthesia. So then... then what you're doing is, you've gathered your visual information.
Does that mean when I bought my bedroom furniture, I actually had to touch it? I did open the drawer.
Ah, well, there you go, you see. So what you've done is you gathered the visual information. You'd also gathered the feeling information in the synesthesia bit. Then when you got into the AD bit, that's when you went down your checklist. Yep, do they fit? Yeah, are they the right price? Do they look okay? Will they look okay with it? You know, whatever it is. And when you got like a row of ticks, you felt happy that they were the trousers for you. Yeah, that's what I'd say the strategy is. So I think you got it perfect. The only thing that you'd...
I missed that bit, yeah.
Just that bit. And that you wouldn't have got that from the eye assessing patterns.
Right.
The only reason I got it was because she said, like, well, when I have to try them on. Whereas most people are like, well, you know, I have to try them on. If there's no synesthesia there, I have to try them on.
She did do that.
And they acted, and they actually acted out. I have to try them on.
Yep.
There you go. Good. Excellent. Other questions? Yes.
Any research into how this model would fit into internet purchasing?
Absolutely. That's why there's a number of people at this particular point in time don't find it easy to buy off the internet, because they can't get kinesthetic external, for one thing. And also, if they have an auditory external in it, they can't talk to somebody else about it. So what some people attempt to do, the way that they work it, is they short-circuit it. What they do is they go around the shops, go in the shop so that they can get the kinesthetic external, they can talk to somebody about it, and then they go away and see if they can get it cheaper on the internet. But really what they did was decide in the shop. Which is particularly for a lot of the motor manufacturers, has been a frustration. One of the ways around that they looked at getting around it was that many, many companies now will charge you for a test drive, and they knock the money that they charge for the test drive off the cost of the car if you buy it from them. That's because so many people were coming in for a test drive, then going and getting the car off the internet. Yeah, they were losing, you know, they were driving everybody around, you know, and then nobody was buying any cars off them. Maybe you make it up. Some people have the ability to make it up, to imagine what it would feel like. See, that's one of the things about synesthesia, you see. Because with a synesthesia, you can probably look at something and know what it would feel like without actually touching it. That's one of the things about synesthesia. That's where you look at something and you're like, yeah, that looks solidly made. That's a synesthesia pattern. That looks solid. Yeah? Well, that looks a bit rickety. Yeah? That might be another way around it. Yeah. Or if you're buying something that you know. You know, a lot of things that people buy off the internet are things that they're very familiar with. So for instance, like books as an example. You know, one book feels like another book. So that's kind of like a redundant step with books to a large extent. So, or CDs or records or a lot of those kind of things. Internet purchases. Yes, go. Yes, everybody would do. Okay. The convincer, yes.
So the question to how can you definitely identify what the actual strategy is? Because I was running to it, it was a long strategy, and then in the end I got some help.
Yeah.
What is it, the question, what was the last thing that happened? Is that
you look for patterns. So you look for repeated patterns. So you see, if somebody has a 3x convincer, let's say Sarah had a 3x convincer, and we just looked at the eye accessing pattern and said, how did you decide that was the one for you? Then the chances are that she'd run that, then she'd run that, and then she'd run it again 3x. And if you're writing down the eye accessing patterns, what you'd have is you'd have a strategy with 12 steps in it, which is kind of like, whoa, you know? But then you go like, hang on a minute, there's a pattern here. And the pattern, the unit that's kind of like repeated is the strategy. There's not really a question to ask, no. There's a possibility that there might have been a loop back in the strategy. So you might get a situation whereby somebody has step one, step two, step three, let's say step four, don't always have four steps, but whatever. And there's a loop back from here, in which case you see this. Then you see that these three loop for a while, repeat for a while, which means there's a loop in there.
And when you're playing back, because I noticed, because he sold me his watch and I wasn't interested in it at all, but for some reason I couldn't let go of it, because he did it in exactly the order that was my selling strategy.
Right.
Now, if there's a loop, how do you...
I wasn't interested in it at all, but I couldn't let go of it. That's called shoplifting. Well, basically, what you'd need to... The only reason why they keep looping back through this is because they haven't got all the information they need. As soon as they've got all the information they need, they'll exit the loop. So you just need to keep telling them all this kind of stuff until you've given them all the information they need. As soon as they've got all the information they need in this loop, they'll exit it. Yeah, so they don't kind of like lock up in it and keep going around it forever. It's kind of like they keep looping back, getting more and more and more information. As soon as they've got enough, then they exit the loop. Yeah. Other questions? Yes, Jill.
Johnson was mismatching the strategy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, for God's sake, stop talking, you'll show me a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I was really getting quite irritated.
Yes. Having your strategy mismatched is quite irritating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you fine? Then, I mean, the interesting thing for me is, you get like this saying as far as like salespeople tend to sell to the people who are most like them. The reason for that is because salespeople tend to assume that everybody has the same decision-making strategy as them, so they sell to other people as they would like to be sold to themselves. So the people who have a similar strategy to them are fine, but the other people find them really irritating. Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten that the mismatch was part of the process.
Right.
And I was the client. So all of a sudden, Dolph started to sell to me in totally the wrong way, and I was like, you know, you completely love me. I've just been in my head. you went through this whole strategy, you really listened to my strategy, and then was like, here you are trying to demonstrate it to me. It's completely forgotten that that was part of the strategy.
But did you notice that there was a significant difference when he utilised your strategy?
Totally, yeah.
It's kind of like being sucked in, isn't it? It's kind of like...
Well, you just forgotten it's part of the process. Yeah.
I was doing a sales training with Eagle Star, and I taught them this stuff. And I said, you know, mismatch it, then match it, just like I did with you. And I was walking around looking at the exercises, these two sales guys, and they just got to the point where they were going to mismatch this strategy. So one of the sales guys mismatches the other guy's strategy. And like this, the guy was selling to him completely unconsciously, and it freaked him out. As soon as he had his strategy mismatched, he went like... And he was going to hit this guy. And the other sales guy kind of goes, whoa, hang on, what's the matter? What's the matter? What did I do? And he goes like, I don't know, what did you do? It kind of like really shook him up, you know. I thought, blimey, I'm not going to mismatch that guy's try. I wouldn't like to.
Or Eagle Star.
Yeah, or go to Eagle Star. Yeah.
I thought I was going to get hit.
Yeah. Well. You mismatched the strategy.
Frustrated with me. And it was just like, I actually had their watch at the time as well.
Oh, right.
Which didn't help much.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Exactly. I actually found it quite hard to elicit the strategy, and also when my partner was trying to elicit mine, we couldn't get it right. But what really worked was when he tried to sell to me.
Ah, okay.
When he tried to sell to me, I was very clear what worked and what didn't work, and so we kind of designed a process by him actually trying to tell him all the steps that I wanted to go through. But it was quite hard from the...
So, okay, so what was it that had you not find it totally easy to do it from the eye assessing pattern? All the predicates?
I don't know.
Okay. Did you get a coach to come over and assist you?
Yeah. I mean, we kind of got an answer, but I'm not convinced inside that I've got it.
Okay.
I mean, I can see it logically.
Right. I would say the key things... To eliciting strategies effectively. And by the way, here's a general thing. It's way easier to elicit strategies out there than it is in here. Because your client doesn't know what you're doing out there, whereas they do in here. Yeah. The keys really are getting the right questions. Yeah. So the question for getting the decision-making strategy, and like you might have to ask it more than once, is how did you decide that was the one for you? That's the real key question. Then you've got to listen for what people say, because quite often where people go, because people have a tendency of not answering the question you ask. So quite often you ask them that, how did you decide that that was the whatever it was for you? And they go straight off into their motivation strategy. And if you work around listing that, taking what whilst they're in that piece, the information that they're giving you and the eye assessing patterns has got nothing to do with making decisions. That's going to send you right off on a kind of like a wild track, you know, wild goose chase. So your job then is to get the person right up to the beginning of the decision making strategy. So you almost have to stop them and go like, okay, thanks. And when you're in the shop or when you're in the showroom or whatever it was, what was the first thing that had to happen for you to decide that was the one for you? So you have to control where they are in the whole process. And if you don't get them lined up at the beginning of the strategy, then you can get all kinds of confusing stuff. And also, some people like run straight off the end of the decision-making strategy straight into reassurance, which can also lead to confusion. So it's around getting that chunk size correct, and then really. To get a strategy really accurate, like you've been doing here, it comes down to tenacity and keeping coming back and saying like, okay, so help me out with this then. I'm a little bit slow. So you go into the shop and you looked at the thing, and then you did this, and they're going like, yeah. And then what happened? What was the very next thing that had to happen? That's the thing, because you see, the strategy runs as quick as this, or even quicker than that. And obviously, you can't elicit a strategy that's running that quick. So your job really is to slow it down so that you can pull each separate piece out. And then just for extra kind of like measure, just to make it the least easy, is that the words don't come out in synchronization with the eye accessing patterns. So what happens is quite often they run the strategy really quick, So you see the eye accessing patterns, and then they tell you about it. And it's kind of like, whoa, hang on a minute. So it's a matter of lining all of those things up.
I think the problem was not really being able to see the eye accessing patterns, was that I think the visual was quite low.
Okay.
And so what looks to be quite an auditory type way of working.
What some people do is they access visual by leaving their eye in the same place, but they lower their head. Yeah, like that. So the eye stays in the same place, but as far as like the eye accessing quadrant, it moves. So they do this for doing visual, but it looks like it's auditory, but it's not, because they've tilted their head forward when they're visualizing. So it could be that.
Yeah, that might be useful.
Could be that as well. So in which case, you were seeing visual eye accessing patterns, but you didn't spot them. You thought there was something else. Yep. That's one of those other little nuances. You don't find it that often, but you do find it sometimes. Yeah.
Is it harder to sell to people who only have one convincer?
They only have one?
Convincer.
So a one-time convincer. I think if you know what somebody's convincer is, then it's easy to sell to anybody. I think the trick is knowing what their convincer is. So with somebody with a one-time convincer, then you only need to show it once, and provided it fits all of their strategy, then they'll decide. If they've got a three-times convincer, then you need to run them through it three times before they're going to be convinced. Automatically convinced, then anything you show them, they're going to be convinced about anyway. Then the consistent convincer, as in never convinced, is the one that's a little bit interesting. So then you need to do some linguistic pattern to kind of like short circuit the never convinced, which for training, for instance, would be, you know you'll never be convinced this is the training for you. At which point the person's going like, yep, that's right. So the only way that you can discover this is the training for you is to do it, which is an absolute truth. Yeah. At which point they go like, yeah, you're right. So which one would you like to do, March or September? Yeah, or if it's a car, it's kind of like, you know, the only way you're going to be convinced is for you to actually buy the car, because you know you'll never be convinced otherwise. So let's stop wasting any time, because you know you're never going to be convinced, and they go like, yeah, you're right. Right. Yeah. So you just buy. Yeah. And if somebody elicited your strategy, then that's the way they'd sell to you. I think that when you say, like, you hate being sold to, I don't think you'd hate being sold to in the way that you buy. You hate being sold to in a way that doesn't match the way that you buy. But I think everybody does. Yeah? And what you've got with NLP is, what you can find out is, the way that somebody buys and sell to them, you can design your sales approach specifically for them. Personal sales approach, which is designed to sell to them in the way that they sell to themselves, basically. In which case, then it feels good to buy that way. If somebody attempts to sell to you in a way that doesn't fit with the way that you buy, then it doesn't feel good. And I don't think anybody likes that, you know? And that's what you got with the mismatch. I mean, obviously you did a slightly brutal mismatch by running the strategy backwards. I don't think any salesperson would quite do that, but I don't know, I've met a few that might do. And you know what it feels like. It feels like horrible. It's like frustrating. It kind of like, gets on your nerves and all that kind of stuff. Then somebody matches it, and it's like real smooth. So I think that's really the thing about being sold to. I think it's the fact that you've had lots of experiences of people selling to you in a way that doesn't match the way that you buy, and that's annoying. But you also have to take it that most people don't actually know this stuff in sales, which is where there's a business opportunity. Possibly. But I don't know if you see, we'd have to work out whether you had a different strategy for buying professionally than you do for buying personally. My guess is that you probably do. Yeah. Yeah. But because you're buying all the time, then, I mean, I don't know if you go out and buy for fun, as it were. I don't know. Shopping therapy.
Yeah, I do.
Do you do?
Right,
yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. I tend to know exactly what I want. I know where to go and get it. And I go in and I go like, yep, that's what I want. But yeah, but I still use my exact strategy, but I just run it. It runs real quick because I've got a VK synesthesia on the front end. It goes into an AD and then into a kinesthetic internal, and that's it. Bang,
so
straight through, real quick.
So we understand if you're a salesman how you can use this.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're a buyer? Are there ways you can use this to get a better deal?
Okay, as far as a professional buyer or as far as a... you could elicit. You need to get the right person, but you could elicit the person's discount giving strategy. So, like, has there ever been a time when you're giving somebody a really good discount? And you were really happy about it, you know, afterwards. Like, how do you know what good discount to give this person? You could do that, or you could go for values. You could elicit the person's values for what they sell and for what they do, and then work on the values. As far as like, you know, by you giving me this for this particular price, then it'll enable you to satisfy your values more. You could do that. Yeah. Or also you could talk to them about people who like really come back and buy a lot of stuff from them. Have you got repeat customers? People who come back over and over and over and over again and spend a real lot of money with you. And get them to tell you about their best customers and anchor the feeling to you. You can give those a go. No guarantee it's going to work, but like, you know, at least you'll have fun.
Yeah. We talk about this strategy in terms of buying. It seems like we talk about buying a product. Would you apply the same strategy once you've got someone's strategy to try and, I guess you can call it sell them an idea, so you can work on buying and sell them on a new process, for instance. So maybe it's how we reorganize the process.
Yep.
It's still the same strategy regardless of what product or more of an idea.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, actually, if you like, you know, there's that concept about the fact that we're always selling. So you're either selling a product, you're either selling a service, you know, where you're getting money back for it, or you're selling ideas, or like, you know, all those kind of things. What you're really working with here is how do you get somebody to easily make a decision? So there's lots and lots of times where you want somebody to make a decision. Yes. Last one.
I was asking Richard, how do you decide? He said all these things to me, and then his eyes were going to the visual construct.
Yeah.
I was going, what's going out of his mouth don't seem to be matching where his eyes are going.
Okay.
And he came about the visual construct, kinesthetic. And so I ignored what he said, and I said, and then I fly back to him, this is how you buy. And then he thought about it, and I think you agreed with me.
Well, I think if you've got the eye accessing patterns mismatch the words, I wouldn't say you'd want to ignore the words. What you've got to work out is how they actually link together. Yeah. So particularly eye accessing patterns that mismatch the words are an indication of synesthesias. So if you get somebody, for instance, who gives you a visual remembered eye accessing pattern, but is talking kinesthetic predicates, then that's an indication that you've got a synesthesia there. And what it'll come out as, it'll look like there's a mismatch, because they're talking feelings, but they're not giving you a feelings eye accessing pattern. They're giving you a visual remembered eye accessing pattern.